And when we left off before Shavuos, we have given two shiurim so far on the beginning of Lech Lecha. And really the opening psukim are obviously chock full, especially since we did spend some time discussing the personality of Avraham, and particularly we had a whole shiur, I think, largely dedicated not to what is said in the Chumash, but what is not said in the Chumash. Namely, how come the Chumash never tells us who Avraham is and what he did to be so impressive to deserve to become, as we called him, the chosen man. But with all of that, we now want to go forward a little bit and treat the first five psukim as a unit and try to ask the question both to some extent almost spiritually or existentially, as well as simply geographically, where is Avraham going? And that's one of the great mysteries of the opening part of Parshas Lech Lecha. So again, let's read the first psukim. We'll go through Pasuk Hey, and then we'll go back and see the issues that are raised in the source sheet. So the parsha again begins, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech Lecha, tells Avram, why is he telling Avram, who is Avram? So we discussed, he did great things, why is he not in Chumash? That's what we discussed. But Avram, the great man who apparently was known, he's told, again, this is at an age of 75, as the pasuk is going to tell us, and again, depending on which medrash you believe, this is either over 70 years since he discovered Hashem, or at least 30 plus years or so since he discovered Hashem. And we mentioned, Soloveitchik painted the picture very painfully and poignantly. Could you imagine this unbelievable ma'amin? He finally discovers Hashem. He's a lonely man against everyone discovering Hashem. And the way the Soloveitchik describes it, you know, begging Hashem to like at least acknowledge him. And Hashem, for whatever reason, is silent for anywhere from 30 to 50 plus, 70 plus years, until finally, at the opening of the parsha, finally, it's the first time we have any recording, Hashem finally speaks to Avram. And he tells him, Lech Lecha me'artzecha, I want you to leave your homeland, umimolatetcha, umibeis avicha, the famous triple language, your land, your homeland, and your father's home, el ha'aretz ashareka, until the land, ha'aretz ashareka, until the land of which I will tell you or I will show you. And at which point, or during the process, Eschal Goy Gadol, I'll make you a great nation. V'avarechecha, I'll bless you. V'agad l'shmecha, I'll make your name great. V'hebracha, you will be a blessing. V'avarcha, mevarechecha, anyone who blesses you will be blessed. V'makalelcha aor. In other words, I have your back. V'nivrechu b'cha, kol mishpachas adama, and through you, you will be the source of blessing for the nations and the families of the world. So that's the command. How does Avram respond? Right away. V'yelech Avram, kasher dibra lav Hashem. Like Hashem told him, right away he went. V'yelech ito Lot, he wasn't by himself, he had his nephew, Lot. V'Avram ben chamesh shanim v'shivim shana. He was 75. V'teisa me'charan. Now why was he in Haran? Because that's where he got left with his father, and he made the journey at the end of Parshas Noach, something we're going to get back to today as well. And finally, Pasuk Hey, V'yikach Avram, and he wasn't just with Lot, but V'yikach Avram as Sarai Ishto, he took his wife, Sarai, as Lot, Ben Achiv, his nephew, as Kol Ruchusham, all of their possessions, Asher Rechashu, that they had possessed, that they had earned, V'es HaNefesh Asher Asu B'charon, which is, of course, the famous phrase, which Rashi tells us alludes to all of their converts, and their Talmidim and Talmidot, that Avram and Sarai had converted and taught the ways of monotheism. The Yetzu, this mass of people went out as a huge caravan, Laleches Arza Kanaan, to go to the land of Kanaan, and they made it. Vayavou Arza Kanaan. They traverse the border, they make it to the land, and then Pasuk Vav tells us exactly where they went, in Avram's Karban, etc., and then his first Nevuah when Hashem then appears to him. So there are potentially numerous issues to discuss. I want to hone in on two generally, and within the second one, I'll ask a few questions. The two generally, one is the term Lech Lecha, right? Mefarshim will ask, you know, Lech Le, Baltimore. That's what God told me 6 years ago. Hey, Lech Le, who are you? Lech Le, Beis Yaakov. Lech Le, go somewhere. So it's not Lech Lecha. It doesn't make any sense. Go to you? What does that mean? That's question number one in the first category. 1B in this category is, of course, the apparent redundancy. Right? Artzacha, Meulatcha, and Beis Avicha are all the same place. I'm not even getting into the fact that he was already in Choron, so he wasn't in those places. Although that's perhaps relevant to the answer we'll try to give. But so what is going on with that opening command, where to go? You know, to leave. Go, leave. That's question number one. The second question relates to El Eretz Ashar Eka. So it seems intriguingly possible, and certainly the silence of the text in the next two or three psukim seem to indicate that what? God never tells Avram where to go. Where I will show you, where I will tell you. Anyone see where he showed him and told him? And even if you'll tell me that eventually he did tell Avram, which we're going to see some commentaries do say, the next pasuk, or the next, you know, action, but Yelech Avram, somebody tell me, where did he go? Did he go north? Did he go south? How did he know where to go? He ended up in Canaan. Was it circuitous? Was it a straight shot? Did he know from the beginning he had to go to Canaan? If so, how did he know? Did he go other places first? Was he just walking, you know, and waiting for a voice, waiting for a sign? How did he know where to go? God said, go to the place, I'll tell you. So we can either make an assumption that there's something that happened that's not in the text, which is not unheard of from a farshim to assume. But if we don't want to make that assumption, because we usually prefer not to, so how did he know where to go? Very good, very Harry, excellent. You're mechavin to one of the things we're going to mention, but I want to just mention again. Yes, it's true. I cut you off. Yes, his father. Although we discussed previously, why did his father start going to Canaan? We saw that at the end of last week's year, or last year before it was 2 weeks ago. But even if his father was going that direction, when God then says, "I want you to go to the land in which I will show you, or I will tell you," how did he know that it was the same place his father had been on the way to? And assuming that he didn't tell him, and it seems very clear, at the very least, he didn't tell him right away, why didn't he tell him? You know, it's not like little kids playing a game. Why not tell him? I mean, he was asking a lot from Avram. Why not tell him? Why not tell him right away? So I would put it in kind of three questions. Why didn't he tell him right away? Did he ever tell him? And how did Avram know where to go? That's all part two of the shir. Yes.
He didn't say where I will tell you. He said where I will show you. So we don't even know that this isn't like a Hansel and Gretel kind of, we don't know that.
So show me where God showed Avram.
We don't know where, but he could have put breadcrumbs along the way.
And Hanami, just like he could have spoken to him. But the point is, you're acknowledging then that it's some communication from God, but the Torah just never told us. Okay, I'm not saying that couldn't be. But that would make an assumption on our part, and we usually, it's not the first resort to answer like that. But we may be forced to, because or else it seems to be a riddle. So on the first issue of Lech Lecha, and what is that whole language, and what's the redundancy of the three things, so take a look at the first two sources on the sheet. The first source is the Ksav HaKabbalah of Mecklenburg. It was on the Giants of German Jewry. Was a fighter against early reform, and through his parish on Chumash, he is often, I'm not an expert by any stretch in his parish, but if I'm not mistaken, I think he was one of those who kind of implicitly through his parish was fighting issues of biblical criticism and reform inroads. But be that as it may, he was a great German Jewish commentary not that long ago. Anyway, the Ksav HaKabbalah says as follows: Hitrachakut Mekomi. In general, if I was describing a geographical journey and I was listing the places along the way, you start with Mimadrega Shalafanov, the place nearest to him, and you progress Lemuchar Mimenu, further and further away. So we went to New York for Shabbos. We left Greenspring, went on 695, went through Delaware to New Jersey. We start with the closest and we go further in the triptych, so to speak. Yitzrachek tchila me'anshei beis. So first you leave your house. Shahaya mugurer mitgorer imahem. Babayas u'becheder echad. You know, the immediate, let's say, you know, you leave the family for Shabbos, or, you know, the child is going to friends for Shabbos. So you leave your parents in the house, that's immediately. V'tzitkada ha'harka ma'ad ma'ad. And every step along the way, they're getting further and further away. He parade game anche mishpachto, even from the broader family, Hamid Gorim Biirom, you know the aunts and uncles and the cousins who live in the city but not in the same house, or Krova Melov or his other relatives or friends, Ashalabasov until eventually he azov kol artsov yelech lo el eretz acheres, until you eventually go somewhere else. So that's a simple, straightforward, you could say obvious description of how a person would typically leave A to go to B. So why is he telling us all this if it's so patently obvious? To contrast it. Amnam, however, ha-hitrachakut ha-machshavit, not a geographical journey, but an intellectual, spiritual journey, is the opposite. Holech me'achor lifnim. You're going from what's further away to get closer and closer and closer. Menarachokim, alakrovim, yoteri love. Each step, you're not going further away from the, and he hasn't said what yet, but you're not going further away, you're getting closer. Hine, achar shehizkir. I'm not sure what word that is, but it looks like. Oh, probably, I knew it's a typo. I just forget what letter it was. Thank you. After we mentioned here, tchila, hit racha kuta aretz. So let's see. Now, in light of that, you know, he has this duality. Geographical is near to far. Spiritual, intellectual is far to near. So now, let's plug it in, he says, to our pasuk. Hayaroy lomer behefech. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Hine, achar shehizkir kan tchila hitrachakuda aretz. He starts off by telling us the land. Shnia lo molarato. We mentioned his birthplace. And finally, Beso Acharon. And lastly, we mentioned Avram's home. Yorelonos, in light of his Chakira, his duality above, plug in our pasuk. Which one does it correspond to? Right? Not a geographical journey. It fits into something else. Yorelonu, She'eno Midaber Behitrachakut Mekomo. Obviously, he was leaving a geographical place, but that's not the journey. That's like just the prop in the background. The journey was intellectual, spiritual. Because had it been really just merely a physical journey, the order should have been reversed. That's what it should have said. UbeMS now he relates to the point that was mentioned before by Sima. After all, he was already gone from his homeland. He wasn't in Kaz anymore. He was already Bo'achar with his father. So what is going on here? What do you mean, leave from your home? He was already out of the home. We're out of the homeland. Omnam ha-mikra medaber b'hitrachakut machshavti. This is an intellectual, spiritual journey. Va'akavana b'ma'amar zeh, and the intent in this pasuk, al-azivus hirhur b'inyanei he'nagut anshe arzo ha-ra'im. This was his abandoning any pretense of any connection, even any intellectual connection, to the ways of the people of his land, Haroim, who were evil. Of Al-Hasarat Zichrono, he was trying to forget, to make a break with the past, to suppress his memories of Darchei Mishpachto Hamagunim, of those denigrated, unbecoming ways of his family. Vagam in yonei beis aviv, yumeruchakim imenu, levli lahalosam aldato. He needed to abandon them so much that he wouldn't be thinking of them or remembering them, but rather totally abandon and make a break from them. Ki kulam hayu shavim vignus hamaasim ubechitut adeos. Because whether it was the family, the neighbors, the mishpacha, the cousins, the friends, the high school classmates, the roommates, the co-workers, that whole world was evil and immoral. Val kavanazu pasach Rav Yitzchak, in a particular medrash, fine, not that part is not important for us.
So says the Ksava Kabbalah, an incredible pshat. You know what's going on here? Not just a physical journey. It's a spiritual journey. It's a spiritual, intellectual journey. Abandon the people who are furthest, if you will, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from morality, from spirituality, and each step along the way, abandon them and get closer. Now, to what? You could say simple pshat is to God. Some of the Chassidish Perushim, I think I once mentioned this in a drasha, say, Lech Lecha, find your true self. The Pintali, in a sense. Lech Lecha, the true you, and it's not just Chassidish, we may see it from Rav Soloveitchik later in this year as well. The true you has a certain instinctive awareness, a sense of what's right. Commune with that. Leave those who are further away and come closer. So the fact that there's a geographical trip is true, and maybe sometimes, we know Chazal speak about this, sometimes you need to mishana makom, you need to change your location to get a different frame of reference. Sometimes if you're, you know, in the same neighborhood with the same friends, the same bad influences, even if you have the right instincts, you're not going to be able to overcome it. You'd like to say, you know, if you really believe in it, you should be able to do it wherever you are, you know, but it's not always fair or true. Sometimes you need a break, you need a change, you need a different environment. So it's true, there was an environmental change, a geographical change, but says the Ksava Kabbalah, don't think that's all it was. That's the background, the platform. The ikar, the main thing, was this spiritual, intellectual departure. And Rav Soloveitchik, remember, this is the book that I quoted to you last year, and we'll have a chance to see it again on the back side of the sheet as well, on the second page as well, this beautiful book of collections of shiurim and essays and notes about Avram. So Rav Soloveitchik makes the point here in a, I would say, similarly or very complementary to the Ksava HaKabbalah. He says the Torah speaks of three departures: physical, behavioral, and kinship departure. Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, the first one means simply to emigrate. Physical location. The addition of Mimoladetcha, your birthplace, is not going to do with a physical emigration, but a departure of another kind. A behavioral departure. Why? What is a Mimoladetcha? Your home. What does that have to do with your behavior? Because the Moledet can also be understood, excuse me, the early years of your life in our birthplace shape and determine our behavioral patterns, our habits. As we say, Chazal say, the girsa d'yankusa, the early years are incredibly formative. Furthermore, he adds, the moledet can also be understood as the mother who teaches her child the basics of behavior. So number one is geographical, yes, a geographical break. Number two is break your patterns of behavior, leave either your home slash mother or even just the early the environment of your youth. And finally, Mibes Avicha, your father's house, refers to clannish estrangement, alienation from one's kin, leaving your family. Avram was called upon to form a new fellowship, to forget his past, and to start his life from scratch. So, he doesn't, again, it's a different analysis of the phrase in the Pasuk than the Ksava Kabbalah. But in essence, it's saying the same thing. Yes, there was a physical departure and a physical journey, but that was only a small piece. It was just as much, if not more so, about starting afresh spiritually and intellectually. Good. So now with all of that, we get on to our second part of the shiur, which is the bulk of today's shiur, which is, where is he going? How did he know where to go? Why didn't God tell him? Did he ever tell him? What's going on? Right, correct. Well, take a look at Rashi. I can't remember if we saw this last time. I think we did. Rashi does address it. I'm not sure if it's a Rashi that's in the realm of Pshat or Drash, and there are both Rashis. But Rashi says, Lech Lecha, Laha'anascha, for your pleasure or benefit, L'tovascha. Kasham Eschel L'goy Gadol, V'kan Yata Zocha L'banim. If you want to be great, if you want to have children, you got to move. It's for your benefit. Now, whether you know there was anything remotely physical or physiological about that, or obviously more likely a spiritual you know, carrot. But in other words, and again, I think we saw this last time, right, moving at any age, especially at 75, right, there's a certain vulnerability starting afresh. I think I mentioned to you in the name of that particular gadol, right? I think I mentioned this last year, that mentioned, you know, was talking about somebody who moved from America to Eretz Yisrael. He says, first you have to be a somebody so that you can become a nobody. Gene and Ethel were here, and they mentioned their aliyah problems, which they said confirmed that. So, you know, it was not a simple thing. So here, Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is why Rashi understands it. He's kind of reassuring him, you know, don't worry, it'll be okay, it'll be good for you. So that's, you know, that's, I guess, if you will, the push-up shot. You know, this additional drush, which fits into the philosophy of the Hashkafa of the Ksava Kabbalah that we saw before. So, if you take a look at now the end of the pasuk in Rashi, Ashir Ar-Eka, that's what I want to focus on for the basis of the rest of the shir. Exactly, yes. That I will show you. Says Rashi, Lo Gila Lo Es Ha'aretz Miyad. Our impression was correct. When Avram had to begin his journey, Hashem had not shown him where he was going. He did not tell him right away. And obviously, that's not going to be a coincidence. Presumably, it was deliberate. Now, you'll ask, what good could that do? So Rashi gives one answer. Kedei lechabeva be'enov. To make it more precious. What would we say that? To build the suspense. Right? It's a tease. Titillation. You know, and you get more and more excited. You know, the potential of the unknown is often more excited than the known. Furthermore, he adds, Ula teit lo schar al kol dibor bedibor. This way, every bit of discussion that he tells him, and even though he's still giving him just the carrots, just the little crumbs, if you will, the hints, but each time Avram's getting more and more excited, he's getting, and he's willing to go to the unknown again, 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 again. That's building more and more reward for Avram. Which, by the way, now that I think about it, you know, I mean, that is, it's in a certain sense, consistent with the first Rashi. Right? L'hanascha. By me doing this, I'm doing this for your benefit, because you'll be more excited, you'll get more reward. I'm creating the suspense. And then Rashi adds, we have a similar phenomenon. In fact, the Medrash, which we're going to see inside in a moment, at least part of that Medrash, but where Rashi is coming from, the Medrash makes the explicit point that we only have the phraseology Lech Lecha twice. Because usually it's Lech Le Baltimore, it's Lech Le somewhere. Lech Lecha we have twice. The only other place is the Akedah. Right? Pretty big coincidence. The only two places are both with Avraham and his two most famous tests. The first one and the last one. Where the Torah tells us about Lech Lecha, right, as bitten take, kach, as binchas, yechidchas, asher havta, yitzchak, etc. And there also, where do you go? To the mountain I'll tell you about. It doesn't tell him which mountain. So in such a case, also creating anticipation and presumably the reward. Let's see the Medrash inside. It'll fill in some of the blanks, as we have seen many, many times. Rashi is often a condensed version of the Medrash, not the whole Medrash. So the Medrash says, the first source in section 2, Amar Rav Yochanan, Lech Lecha Me'aretz Chalas Sha'areka, Lama Lo Gila Lo, why didn't Hashem tell him where? Kedei Lechavva Be'ino Avalitin Lo Schara Kol P'siya P'siya. So it's actually a little different. Every step that he took, he's going to get more reward. Because every step is an act of faith. Because he doesn't know where he's going. Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan compares that, as Rashi said, to the Akedah, Kachmas, Bincha, etc. And it's interesting, I didn't, for our purpose of space and time, I didn't put the whole text of the Medrash in, but it's a very, very famous Medrash, because if you remember, right, take your son, your first son, your only son, your one you love, and the Medrash spells out in great drama that Avraham, which you don't get just by reading the Pasuk, Avraham says to Hashem, Kachmas, Bincha, but I have two sons. Yechidcha, they're both the only son of each mother. Ahavcha, I love them both. You know, we are so preconditioned to Yishmael for all eternity. Avram loved Yishmael. Certainly at that stage. Why would you think he loves Yitzchak any more than Yishmael? They're both his sons. It's a very, very dramatic medrash. And it builds, and very, almost shocking, and building up, you know, and making it almost even more dramatic when you realize, oh, you mean Yitzchak. But again, they're also, the method of suspense is used. And then, Rabbi Yossi Aglili makes the general principle, same idea, Masha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Umetale Einehem Shal Tzadikim, right? God withholds and lifts, you know, suspends, you know, their knowledge. And only later, and again, that's what we see here as well. So, first approach, Rashi and the Medrash, is a quasi or a hybrid to make him more excited and to love it more. But I would, for our purposes, not only because Rashi and the Medrash really blend the two, even though they really are two different points, Rashi and Medrash really blend the two, and I think the reason is because if you had a very simple ledger of good and bad, or, you know, easy and hard, these are on the good, easy side. Whatever the differences are between these two reasons, they're very similar. I would contrast this Medrash and Rashi's citation of it with another Medrash. Look at the next Medrash, it's the Tanchuma. The Tanchuma has a different take, and it's really almost two different takes on human nature. Lech lecha arz ha-shareka, he didn't tell him. Nisayon betoch nisayon. Shlomo lo le'ezem akom le'elech. I.e., to make it harder. Not to make it more exciting. If anything, maybe this is a little bit closer to the give him more schar. This medrash, if you could argue, really highlights the fact that the first medrash is really giving two different reasons, if you want to look at it that way. But it's certainly not just to make it chavava, ooh, it's so exciting. And I would say, you know, different people, there's certain people like surprises. And there are certain people who say, don't give me, no surprise parties. They don't like it. They need to know. And other people, you know, when it happens, they love the fact that you kept a surprise from them. Because it's a geschmack. It's l'chavava. I made it more exciting. And for other people, it's miserable. They don't like that. They can't handle the not knowing. So the Medrash Tanchuma is focusing on that. Saying the nisoyon, we think, is that he left. Nisoyon betok nisoyon. It's one thing to leave. It's another thing not even to know where you're going. And in that sense, it made it harder. This medrash doesn't say anything about reward. We could add that you'll get, presumably, another nisayon means more reward. But this medrash is not focusing on that. But rather the fact that this is more difficult.
It said your God spoke to Avram. Where did he, how did he speak to him? How did he communicate, convey this to him?
I guess with Nevuah.
Well,
let me put it this way. Presumably the answer is yes, in the sense that the Rambam very famously says that there was two forms of prophecy, Moshe's and everyone else's. And the Moshe's is basically like you and me talking. And that every other Navi, as great as Avram was, he wasn't Moshe, was in a kind of a dream or trance-like state. I mean, I don't know if anyone talks about this specifically here any more than the 100 other places we have Hashem talking to a biblical personality. But I would assume that would be.
He said God said to him. He didn't say he spoke directly to him. He said.
But Yomer Hashem El Avram. He spoke to him. That's how
he said. He said to him.
Yes, he spoke to him. But Yomer Hashem El Avram. He spoke to Avram.
Not from an angel.
No, it doesn't seem that way. He had a nevuah. You don't need an angel. You know, we don't have necessarily an angel for nevuah. So that's. Anyway, I think that's two reasons. Now, I didn't have a chance to put it on the sheet, and Blinetta, before I put them online, I'll try to add it. There were two sources I meant to put on, which I didn't have time for. One was in Abarbanel. The Abarbanel has a different, very prosaic explanation. And that is, you know, sometimes you're going somewhere, and, you know, imagine, you know, you're like, I'll tell you a story. When I went to Shalvim, you know, as an 18-year-old out of high school, actually I wasn't even 18 yet, I was almost 18. So at the time I went with one really close friend, Jeremy Lossman. Coincidentally enough, I think I said to you that the only other time I was ever in the shul before becoming rabbi was for his offerf. Obviously little did I know then what would transpire a few years later. But anyway, so we were close friends, we were chavrusas, and there was one night where we wanted to go out to eat. You know, we had... since it's being recorded, I'll say we had off and we were allowed to leave yeshiva at the time. it was like the first week, okay? Give me a break. Anyway, so meanwhile, we were the out-of-towners. Summer Spring, Baltimore. There was a whole group of guys. It was fascinating. They moved like a pack. Like rats. A pack. Like 11 or 12 guys, all from New York. They had gone to high school together. They had gone to camp together. And apparently they were going to go out to dinner together. Okay, that's fine. We saw them like in the lobby of the dorm as we were like waiting to get like to leave. And they noticed us. And they like ran and we overheard them saying like, you know, we can't let Gottlieb and Lustman see us. They're going to want to come with us. Now I don't know if the right word is irony or what the right word is. At some point, not that much longer, but at some point later in the year, we all actually became very, very good friends. More or less that whole group and both me and Jeremy. But I remember for all the New York editorials that could inspire, I mention it to you now because if you're going somewhere and there are people, rightfully or wrongfully, that you don't want to go with you, you're not going to tell them where you're going because they might follow you. They might want to join. They might want to be the third wheel. Says Abarbanel, you know why Hashem didn't tell Avram where he was going? Because he didn't want hangers-on. He didn't want the paparazzi. He didn't want anyone following Avram. You know, where's this guy going? A lot of people. His talmidim, his wife, his nephew. Okay, but there might be some guys just hanging around, you know. Let's, you know, got something else to do in the ancient Near East. Let's go follow Avram. He seems like he's got a plan. Hashem didn't want, again, the break. If you're not already committed, I don't want you following Avram. This was a committed-only journey. That's the Abarbanel's explanation. One more source before we get to the next and final section of sources. The Medrash in Tehillim. The Medrash in Tehillim comments on Pasuk Hey, the fact that it says, right, Hashem told him, and then as we point out, we read the Pasuk, what happened right away? Boom. Or Pasuk Dalet even. Boom. The Yelech Avram, he left. Kasher Dibra Lev Hashem, he left right away. Or at least that's what it implied. Says the Medrash in Tehillim. Ma Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did God say to him? Lech Lecham Yartzcha Amim Aladcha. That Lo Heshiv Dover Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram didn't even respond. Lo Mar Lo. Ma Bein Neshiv Kan Lebein. Ma Bein Leilich Liracheres. You know, Avram, again, remember how hard this must have been. A journey to the unknown. Avram didn't start hocking him. Where? Why? Come on, you know, can I stay here? Lama, why not? Shemi shumafane mi bayis labayis meitzar. Let's be realistic, says the Medrash. Somebody who moves suffers. It's not pleasant to move. I can confirm we had 4 apartments before moving to Baltimore. And 2 were in 2 different neighborhoods. 2 in Manhattan, and then 2 in Riverdale. The big move was from Manhattan to Riverdale. But we still had even those little, teeny little moves were nightmares. We barely owned anything. We barely had kids. And they were still huge nightmares. Someone who goes me by just moving houses, moving apartments, suffers, meitzar. Ein tzar chomer, all the more so me ear to ear, the big move from one city to the next. And yet, Velo ikev. He didn't put up any fight. He didn't delay. Elamiyad. Asa kol ma'asher amar lo. He did it right away. Everything that Hashem told him. Shinamar v'yelech Avram k'asher dibra elav. Hashem hefzik. Because he knew Hashem had promised him the good stuff. L'han oscha, l'tov oscha, eschal l'goy gadol. He didn't want to take a chance. If I start delaying and hemming and hawing, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get a new guy. Maybe he'll take away the deal. So he went with alacrity. He went right away. Okay, now, so we saw that Hashem didn't tell him. All these sources agree Hashem didn't tell him, which is pretty much straight, pashup shot. Number 2, we saw why didn't he tell him? To make it more exciting, to make it more difficult, to give him more reward, that the non-cool guys from Baltimore and Silver Spring shouldn't follow. Different reasons why not. Now the question is, so if that's the case, how did Avram know where to go? He didn't have a GPS. I mean, how did he know where to go? Did he just accidentally end up in Canaan and Pasuk Hey and Pasuk Vav? How did he know where to go? So here also, a number of different answers in the Mefarshim, both classical and contemporary. And the second source, which I didn't have a chance to put on the sheet, comes from the Or HaChaim. So I'll have to give you, this is first answer to this question, and again, I hope eventually to put it on the source sheet. Avra Ahuvi, says the Or HaChaim, answer number one. How did Avram know where to go? No one told him. You're right. Avraham started out just walking. I don't know. Just go. But, says Or HaChaim, at a later date, Hashem did tell him. This is what was it, somebody suggested before. Right? Not everything's in the text. The Or HaChaim is the one who says it. Not everything's in the text. Hashem eventually did tell Avram to go to Canaan. How do you know he got to Canaan? Simple. Hashem told him. Hashem didn't tell him, El Rakha. Says Or HaChaim, you're right. At the beginning, he didn't tell him. Why didn't he tell him at the beginning? See the three answers we just discussed. But he didn't tell him at the beginning. He says, eventually he told him. So it's a huge leap of, you know, exegetical faith, because it's not in the pasuk. You have to assume something. But once you make that assumption, so then it's a very simple, elegant answer to the question. How do you know? Hashem told him. You have to make the assumption that Hashem told him. But if you make that assumption, then it's a very easy question. Good. That's approach number one. Take a look at your source sheet for approach number two, which I'll call the Sforno HaMekdavar approach, which is nice because they're two of my favorites. Two of my favorite perushim in general. The Sforno says, V'yevtu l'alachas arza kanan, shahaysa meforsemes etzlam, l'eretz mucheness l'hisboninus ul'avodas hakel yizbarach. What saith the Sforno? Who wants to tell me? In essence, the Sforno is answering a question that he didn't ask. This is what we call, you know, the Bavar. He's answering an implied question. Clearly, what's bothering the Sforno? What forced him to... Our question, how did he know where to go? Answers the Sforno, Canaan was famous. A tremendous chiddush. Canaan was famous. It was known as a spiritual place. You want to commune... You want to hang out in the mountaintop. You want to go alone in the desert. You want to meditate.
Maybe shame the neighbor. You know, they were there. Maybe people know. We kept asking about them.
Yeah, again, the Sforno doesn't say that. You can take a look inside it. You don't have to trust me. This is the entire Sforno. I didn't even cut any of it out. The Sforno says it was famous. Everyone knew this is a place. Mucheness l'hisponinus l'avodas hakeliz baruch. So Abram assumed, if Hashem is telling me to go to some place, presumably it's to the spiritual place. It would be like the opposite. Like if somebody told me to go on a spiritual journey, I would assume it's not to Las Vegas, which I call always the, you know, modern day Sodom. Huh?
Las Vegas? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I said, yeah. You would assume it's not.
Right.
You know, is there a city, I don't know, in America, unfortunately, or anywhere in the world, unfortunately, where you could say, well, yeah, that would be the spiritual place. Well, I guess, let me put it this way. If I was open to potential Avodah Zarah, I would say, yeah, it's Salt Lake City, right. Right? Or you would say, you know, if you were open to more Avodah Zarah type things, you would say to the Far East. You know, you're going to go to Tibet. You know, people, unfortunately, or India, are more Jews who think that they're finding God there than are finding it in Judaism, the Jubus, as they say. So a lot of them, they go on a journey. Where are they going to go? They go there. So Avram, Lahabdil, Falfi Avdolos, Avram said, Hashem wants me to go on a spiritual journey. It's to the holy place. What's the holy place? Canaan was already known. Take a look at the HaMekdavar, the Netziv, in a very similar way, elaborates on the same idea. El Ha'aretz Sha'areka, says HaMekdavar, Eir HaKavona Al Eretz HaKna'ani Bechlal. Hashem was not alluding, hinting at Canaan, Israel, in general. And here's an unbelievable thing. Shari Kfar Yoda Miskula Asaretz. As, again, in essence, like the Sforno said. Because that didn't, all of this intrigue and surprise and anticipation that we discussed a few minutes ago, that wasn't true about Canaan, because there was no surprise. If I tell you to go to the Holy Land, already Abram knew what the Holy Land was. So Hashem wasn't hiding anything, whether you think it was to make it more exciting, to make it a bigger test, but it was not either of those, because everyone knows that's where to go. And how did he know that? So he tells us, Kedesiv L'El, and he quotes, I hear just for the sake of space, and timing, I didn't include it, but he quotes here the Netziv, the pasuk about with at the end of Noach with the father. Why do you think with Terach in Parshas Noach? I mean, why was Terach going to Canaan? And this builds on what we saw, the Medrash, which Rav Soloveitchik we saw quoted last year, that Terach became a Baal Tshuva. That Terach wanted to go to Canaan for spiritual reasons. What, Terach was a Navi? All of a sudden Hashem spoke to Terach? No. Apparently Terach had an intuition, had not knew. If you want to be a Baal Tshuva, you want to be spiritual, you go to Canaan. So Avram knew that already from his father. So what do you need? What's Hashem doing here? What's the surprise? What's the intrigue here? El HaPerish, I'm on the next page. Oso Eretz, Gam Ken Yirehu L'Ezet Sad Yifne. In Israel, within Canaan, there are Madregos. There are parts that would be more holy than the other. So within Israel, one thing Avram knew, Hashem will tell me exactly where, but I had what was the map? Where are they going? I don't even know where it was. I'm not good with geography. Where was Rakazdim compared to Canaan? Southwest? Southwest. So he had, I'm going southwest, and Hashem will, you know, it's going to be a new commercial for them. I'm going southwest, and Hashem will tell me exactly, where to go. The Ein Perish Asher Eka, and then he adds something just as an aside. So first of all, it's obviously not identical, but that's complementary to the Sforno. How do you know where to go? Because everybody knew. Canaan was already Canaan. And but Hashem was going to tell him some specific land, which the Netziv assumes happened. The parish is not Shagir lo mamish, that Hashem's going to actually talk to him. This actually, Marvin, gets to your question. Not about now. At this point, God was talking to him. But when God says, I'll show you, it's interesting, the Netziv has a Havamina similar that he would have talked to him, despite the language. But then he says, no, it did not mean that he was actually going to tell him, stop, you're here. Ella, Kamodichsiv al Echad Harim. We saw that there's a lot of parallels between the Akedah and here. So Hashem said to him, don't go to Mount Moriah, which is where the Akedah was. He says, go to one of the mountains. Velohaya Mamar Mefurash. And how did Avram know where to stop? Ragra Onon Kashur Allah. Now, I don't recall. I'm not holding in the Sugya of Akedah now. I don't remember if that's obvious. It's on the Pasuk, right? And I don't know if it's an obvious Medrash. There was a cloud following Avram that told them, stop, you're at the Mount Moriah. I didn't recall that. And as I said, it could be that that's a chiddush that the Netziv has, it could be that the Netziv speaks about that there, or it could be that that predates the Netziv. I don't know. But the Netziv assumes that Hashem provided some kind of a map quest to Avram at the Akedah in some form of a cloud. Similarly here too, he says, Kacha Pirishkan, Shehareu Lehechan Yehali Chosav. Somehow God would communicate the message, you know, with smoke signals or the like, you know, in Morse code or something, you're here. But again, the Netziv felt that that was within Israel. To get to Israel in general, that Avram didn't need God to tell him specifically, because he understood that that's, if I'm going to go on a spiritual journey, like the Sforno, Mufarsemes, it's known. So that's basically what I would call approach number two. Oh, good. Okay, good. I figured. I just couldn't remember. What pasuk? Thank you. Chaf Beis Dalet. It's good. I got the high level class. Chaf Beis Dalet Rashi. Vayaris Amakom. Ra'anon Koshrel Har. Thank you very much. I forgot about that. It's a medrash. Okay, good. Thank you. Says the Netziv, Mestama, the same thing happened here. The point is, there's no medrash here. Netziv says it here. Okay, fine, but that's good. I appreciate that, Sama. Thank you. Do you have a pen? I don't have a pen. Thank you. I'll give it back. 1 second. What did you say? It was Chav Dalad? No, Chav Beis Dalad? Chav Beis Dalad. Thank you. Good catch. Okay. So answer number one, how did Avram know where to go? Said Orachayim. Eventually God told him. Easy. Answer number two, says Sforno and Netziv. He knew. Because everyone knew. This is a famous holy land. That's answer number two. Answer number three is what I think Harry was alluding to before. You're Machaven to Rabbi Shmuel Golden. Shmuel Golden is a rabbi in Englewood. And he took a sabbatical. And he used the sabbatical to write a book. He wrote a book. He wrote up his Chumash Shiurim from his shul on Sefer Bereishis. He has since, which is I'm more amazed by, figured out how to write a second book since he's back up from sabbatical. I don't know how he found the time. To write one book on sabbaticals already, you'd think that's one of my goals too. But anyway, he wrote a book of, he has a second volume out on his Shiurim on Shmos. I think they're excellent works. So in one of his, in his chapter on our Parsha, I mean, on this particular story, he mentions his own theory, which he says is, he quotes some of the others, but then he says, maybe the other, most intriguing answer, he says, is the one that's in the Pasha Pshat of the Chumash. What do you mean the Pasha Pshat? The Chumash doesn't tell us where he went, or how he knew, just at Areka. So he says, no. Let's remember, as Harry reminded us, at the end of Parshas Noach, with Terach, he says, Avram Sadr Terach embarks on a mysterious journey with his entire family, and the journey was aborted, however, short of his destination, right? He died in Haran. So Avram's journey emerges from the text as a continuation of his father's original quest. As they would say in scholarly works, italics in the original. The difference between father and son from this perspective lies in their ability and in their willingness to stay the course and complete the journey. But who said, no, he said he stopped there. He didn't say he died first. He stopped there. Right? He stopped there. So in essence, the way Rabbi Golden is suggesting, again, if you just read the flow of the psukim, it sounds, again, you have to assume a little bit. He doesn't quote the Midrashim, and he may have even written this book. He didn't quote Rav Soloveitchik either, but something works perfectly with what we saw last week from the Midrash that Rav Soloveitchik quoted. The Terach was about children, that Avram had a sense that his father was on a spiritual quest as well. And if he knew that his father was on the way to Canaan, so the way he's touching it is what Harry anticipated. When God says go, he assumed, let me pick up where my father left off. I'll build on the previous generation, if you will. They've made it so far, you know, on the shoulders of giants, if you will, I'm going to go the next step. And again, to be able to finish something, we know how many things in life, religious and otherwise, we start and we don't finish. To be able to finish something is a madrega. So that's another approach that maybe, how did he know? Because his father had started going there. So again, Or Chaim says, Hashem told him at some point. The Sforno say, because everybody knew, that's the holy place. And the Pasha Pshat answer, perhaps, is because his father had started. And finally, to conclude this year, let's see some beautiful, beautiful insights and developments from Soloveitchik. Again, I want to reiterate my thanks to Ethan Spiegler for reminding me that I own the book. Like I told you last time, I would have, who knows, I could have given 10 shirim on Lechocha. I forgot that sitting on my shelf, I had a book about Avram from Soloveitchik, which I never cracked. I just cracked the binding. I just opened it. But since I've opened it, I haven't been able to put it down. It's so beautiful. So he says the following, what this will conclude. Third or fourth approach. We must not imagine that Avram left Haran in the morning and arrived in Canaan in the afternoon. Now, it wasn't so simple, this journey. Instead, he wandered from one place to another, exploring many countries, wondering whether or not he had found the land of which the Almighty had spoken. Let's stop there for a second. One thing is already immediately clear. Not only did he not initially tell Avram, of course, Soloveitchik, it doesn't seem like he ever told him, or at least not for a while. So, and that's number one. Number two is, unlike all of the other Perushim, it wasn't some famous place that everyone knew where to go, like the Sforno or the Netziv. He didn't just figure, I better go there because that's where my father was going. Sefer Soloveitchik, he left and he had no idea where to go. He didn't know where to go. Maybe it's here, maybe it's there. In fact, Avram himself said, later, right, when Mitzrayim, when Avram is describing these events, he says, Hitu Osi, or Hisu Osi, from my ancestral home. If you take a look, the pasuk is in Chaf Yudgimel. Look at Chaf Yudgimel. What does Avram say? This is with when he's in Mitzrayim. He's worried about, with Avimelech, telling Sarah to lie about if he's, that she's really the sister. Yud Gimel, what does he say? He tells the story, Vayihi ka'asher hisu osi, or hitu osi, Elokimi beis avi. What is hitu osi? Go back to Soloveitchik. Caused me to wander, to be lost, to go astray. Avram did not say, when God told me to go to Canaan, because God never told Avram.
In fact, when God commanded Avram to depart from his ancestral home, he did not mention the destination to which Avram was supposed to proceed. Apparently, Avram felt lost. But God did not say a single word. Avram himself had to identify the place. No help was offered. So here we have the most extreme approach. Hashem never told him. He didn't know. He wasn't famous. He didn't know from his father. He was mamish, wandering, not knowing where to go. So then we read, we started a little bit today, and he does get to Canaan, he gets to Elon Moreh, Chevron, makes a carbon. And what does the Pasuk say back in our parsha now? We stopped short of this today, Vlad and Zion. Ad makom shechem Elon Moreh, v'haknan yoz baretz, Zion. V'yeira Hashem al Avram, finally God appears to him. The Yom already says, L'zarecha etein esar sezos. I'll give your children this land. V'yivin shav ezbech, Hashem, I mean, Avram built him ezbech, l'Hashem. Hanira Elov, to Hashem who had appeared before him. Rav Soloveitchik says, I don't understand. Who do you think he built the Mizbeach to? It just said that Hashem appeared to him and spoke to him. Of course he built the Mizbeach to Hashem. So why does the Pasuk end with Hanira Elov? Rav Soloveitchik answers, here we have it underlined. He answers this, he built the altar because Hashem had confirmed his choice of the land by appearing to him. Only at this point, Pasuk Zion, says Rav Soloveitchik, did Avram know he was in the right place. Why did he end up in Canaan? Because he had tried all the other countries, or at least many others. Eventually, he just hit Canaan. It's not here. Let me try here. And when he was there, out of nowhere, Hashem says, hello, Avram. And apparently, he hadn't spoken to him since the journey had begun. Avram knew, because Hashem is appearing to him now, and this is most faithful, similar to the Areka. Right. Right, so because he appears to him, Hanira Elov, because he appears to him, that's how Avram knew. It wasn't as we might have thought reading the Psukim, and especially one of the other Mefarshim. He knew to go there, or he already knew he was in the right place. Sof Pasuk, pregnant pause. And then Hashem appeared to him. No, says Rav Soloveitchik. He knew he was in the right place because Hashem appeared to him. Tautologically, or else he wouldn't have known. How else could he have known? That's what the Pasuk is hinting at. He brought a carbon to the Shem who appeared to him. Meaning, I brought a carbon because now I know I'm here. Because how do I know I'm here? Because God appeared to me. And then he adds, Rashi, as we saw, Rashi, who not only makes the point about making, you know, anticipation, but then Rashi references the Akedah, similarly fine, in Perchav Beis. God Hashem did not identify the mountain, etc. So similarly says, so again, first of all, what do we have here? A whole different image. A kind of a lonely, maybe even frustrating, but certainly very lonely search. Where am I going? What does God want from me? Is it here? Is it here? Is it there? So in light of that understanding of our Pasuk and our story, when Rashi makes the parallel comparison to the Akedah, the same phenomenon occurred. Avram had to search for the mountain and identify it intuitively. Only then would God confirm it. And with this, Rav Soloveitchik uses the rest of the essay, and I give you the paraphrase of it, we're now going to leave the area of Parshanut and the story and get into the theology. So Rav Soloveitchik, this is not just a nice little Parshanut for it, I'm telling you, but the basis of this, again, which begs the question, so why didn't? And now we're going to get, not only are we going to get another answer for how did Avram know where to go, Rav Soloveitchik is our fourth answer, but Rav Soloveitchik is also going to add another answer, which is, well, why didn't he tell him? Said Rav Soloveitchik, here's a central idea to Judaism. Kedusha attracts. This was perhaps the greatest discovery made by Avram. And he describes, again, I very much paraphrased it, that the first generation, the generation of the flood, beauty, taiva, hana'a, that was what they were obsessed with, and that led to their behavior and their lifestyle. The Dor Haflaga, right? Migdal Babel, power, strong might, let's build a tower all the way up to the sky. What was the new idea which Avram was introducing? Avram proclaimed to the world that Kedusha, not these other things, but sanctity, holiness, is a great attractive force. And now he says, you know, the money hashkafa point here. The Almighty has implanted in the Jews a sensitivity to Kedusha, to the holy. The covenantal community is supposed to be equipped with a sixth sense, enabling it to be spontaneously attracted to the holy.
Avram was tested to determine whether or not he possessed this capability. Why didn't Hashem tell Avraham? So it's true that the Medrash says, Nisayon betoch Nisayon. So the simple understanding of that was, it's harder, you don't know where you're going, that's more painful. And Rav Soloveitchik has already acknowledged that, of course, that's the case. And he dramatically described that because he says Avraham had no idea where he was going. Mamash just wandering. But says Rav Soloveitchik, that wasn't the test. Or maybe it was an additional test, I don't know. But that's not the key test. The key Nisayon here was, I think Avram's the guy. I think he's the right man for the job, to be the father of the chosen nation. But I need to know if he possesses certain things. So the Akedah tested one thing, and different tests. What was this test? So we think it's typically understood it was Moser Nefesh. Was he willing to leave his family, the comfort, etc.? And it's all obviously true. So Soloveitchik focuses on something else. That Hashem wanted that he should have an intuitive sense, a kind of a radar or a honing device to have a sense of where Kedusha is. That's why Hashem didn't tell him. He was testing him. Would he find it on his own? Not like, as we said before, like a child's game. I'm not going to tell you. But the ability to do that is itself one of the skills, one of the attributes that Hashem was looking for in Avraham. And he adds one final proof. Avraham entered Canaan from the north, the most fertile part of the country. Now, he was a shepherd, he had all this land. Why did he settle in one of the northern valleys? So Rashi, on Pasuk Tes, asked that question. And Rashi answers, he stopped, obviously, at Elon Moreh Hebron, because that's where Hashem appeared to him. But why didn't he stop earlier than that? Because he was headed towards Yerushalayim. The holiness of Yerushalayim pulled him instinctively towards the south. Avram was instinctively attracted by Kedusha the way the bee is attracted by the nectar of the flower.
But this test is supposed to be a test for Avram, not for God. So, I mean, in this case, you're saying that it was God knew what...
How's that any different than what you thought 2 minutes ago? Or any other test?
Because...
God knows all the things. God knows he's going to... God is all-knowing.
What is it showing to Avraham? That he can seek out Kedusha?
He's demonstrating to God. So why is that different than whatever it is, and we're not in Bayer now, but whatever God wanted to see with the Akedah, God didn't know? I mean, this is a famous question. People ask this. Ramban, I think, asked this question. On all the Nisya, what does God need any of these tests for? Right, there are 10 famous tests, Rabbi Avos tells us. Well, God didn't know that he would pass them. The answer is, in order to, you know, Avram still had to demonstrate it. I don't understand.
Because that to me is showing Avraham more, you know, that he's made up what it takes.
Oh, good. I'm okay with that. So why is that a problem for this?
I don't think it's showing anything to Avraham.
Why? He went to the right place. And then Hashem appeared to him, confirming. Had he stopped in, I don't know, Iran, and either God never appeared to him, or God appeared to him and said, keep on moving, then he wouldn't have had it. By going here, again, I'm not necessarily agreeing with you that's the point of the tests, but I'm okay with it if it is. That's also, I think that's a nice idea also, that Avram should understand what he's made of. But I think this would accomplish that also. And you see one of the words he repeats, again, it's like 3 or 4 times he repeats the word intuitively. That's the idea, that there's, you know, we sometimes call it the pencil. There's a certain, and he, again, I'm giving you, you know, a paraphrase of 3 pages in a book. Again, it's really kedai to buy the book. And he makes this point, again, describing more elaborately how, you know, as descendants of Avram, hopefully, we're supposed to possess this same idea. And he even discusses there, and now you'll tell me that there are people who are living lives very far from Kedusha? He's not blind to that fact. So he describes either that either they're willfully ignoring it, or they've been whatever. But that doesn't bother him. I mean, it bothers him. It doesn't bother his theory. It says everybody as descendants of Avram, we have this, you know, this whatever you want to call it, this spark, this intuitive, you know, GP honing device that brings us to Kedusha. Now, whether we act on it
or whether we, you know, feel its pull and then all of a sudden run away from it because we're scared, and that, I think, is certainly a possibility. It doesn't mean we're going to live up to it, but we have it. And that's apparently what Abram had, and that was the test to see, did he have that? Or to show him that he had it, as whatever, however formulation you prefer. Okay?
He never ended up in Yerushalayim. You would think if he was attracted... But
that's where he was going. Why Hashem wanted him to stop somewhere else is a different question. We have Rabbos, Mashavos, Beladish. We have lots of plans, even good plans. But God doesn't always want you to do them. Okay. So the fact that, not show you, but where I will see you, and since he saw him in Elon Moreh, maybe, okay. Good. Harry, give her a compliment. Okay.